In 1846, a young man named Edwin Fear established a watch company in the English city of Bristol. He named it after himself, Fear's. The company survived through the 19th century and lasted through two world wars, up until the late 1950s when it shut down. Well, 60 years later, meet Nicholas Bowman Scargill, Edwin Fear's great-great-great-grandson, and the watchmaker who's on a mission to revive the family brand to its former glory. This is Eureka, brought to you by Monocle 24, in association with Braintree. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Each week we bring you one entrepreneur story, the early inspirations, the struggles, and the path to success. This week, Nicholas tells his story.
I always wanted to be a train driver. I love trains. We always went on holiday in Yorkshire, always went to the National Railway Museum, and that's all I wanted to do, was drive a train. And probably around 8, 9 years old, I started changing what I wanted to do. My dad's a corporate lawyer, and I started looking at kind of him going off in his suit and thinking, maybe a job in the city, you know, something where I get to dress up and look all smart and fancy. And that's kind of when the train driver dream ended, at about 8 years old. He used to always tell me about, you know, he'd work with these people called investment bankers. And bear in mind, you know, it was 97 when I turned 10, so, you know, I was suddenly seeing and hearing all these stories about, oh, well, investment banking is a good career to go into. You know, you can make a lot of money. It's very interesting. It's very booming. And so, you know, as I was kind of going up through school, that was the sort of thing I thought, something corporate, something, you know, actually in a big office, in a nice suit and fancy job title, that would be a nice thing to do. I studied economics at university, and that was very much with the intention, I'm going into banking. I did some brief internships, work experience at different banks. Loved the work. I found that really interesting, kind of getting inside a business and like looking at how it worked. Didn't like the culture, didn't really like the people. And as it was, I graduated in the summer of 2008, so not the time to have think about actually going into the city. So I actually swerved and missed that and actually went into public relations instead. It was very scary, you know, it was a very scary time. 21, you move to London and suddenly the whole world is imploding, and everything that you've gone through, school and university, being told this is how life is going to be in the workplace. I was working for a PR company. Within a few months, a third of the workforce were let go. And I'm literally there thinking, hang on, I've been here for like a few weeks and already, you know, they're losing clients, losing people. And I mean, the whole industry was doing it at the time. And that kind of just got me thinking, right, I've just got to work. Whatever I do, I've got to keep my job. I mean, I ended up staying at the PR agency 3 years. Most people in PR are not there for 3 years. You know, you move agencies, it's much quicker. But for me, I was very much like, I felt very loyal to my clients who I was representing. I was very interested in what they did, kind of, you know, real through my heart and soul into the work. But, I don't know, age of 23, 24, start thinking, hang on, I've been here a couple of years, I've done a few years, is this what I want to do forever? And no, the answer was very, very clear. I said, no, actually, as much as I enjoy it, it's not what I love. So instead, I decided to, over one Christmas, kind of have a blank sheet of paper. What could I do? I could do anything. And that's when train driving came back up. Always had two interests. Trains have been a big interest of mine, and wristwatches. So I looked at both, thought watchmaking kind of kept coming out as being maybe that was going to be a better job to do. Obviously a complete retrain. And it was during this time I was chatting to my parents saying, look, as much as I love what I'm doing, I'm not loving it, I want to do something different. And my mum said, oh, well, you know, your great-grandfather was a watchmaker, so, you know, maybe it runs in the blood. What a great idea. You know, you should consider doing that. And I was always aware that through my mum's side on the family that there had been some business. There'd been something that had existed. You know, every so often things would be referred to, oh, that was when the business was still running and things like that. But I never really asked. I never really heard much. I'm 23, 24 at that point and suddenly finding out that, yeah, my great-grandfather was a watchmaker. You know, he'd fully trained and his father was a trained watchmaker. And so I applied for lots of watch companies, mainly in London, the southeast. and I ended up working at Rolex in London. There's different ways you can get into it. There are a few courses in the UK. With Rolex, I did most of my training in-house. So by the time I left there, I was sort of a watch technician, so I could do partial servicing, partial repairs. And I remember one weekend, go back home, just having a Sunday lunch with my family. And I was saying to them, look, I'm happy, but again, I might want to do something different. I've always thought about doing my own job. That would be great. You know, my own company, that would be something exciting. And my mum said jokingly, sort of, oh, well, why didn't you restart the family watch business? The penny slowly falling down and hitting on the dining room table and being like, what? Sorry, come again? You know. And that was when I realised that my great-grandfather, so my mum's grandfather, was not just a watchmaker, but also the third managing director of the family watch business. And that was just this eye-opening kind of what? And then he said, oh, you know, after dinner, let's have a look, and went through some old family papers and found old adverts from the 40s. And it was just like, right, okay, this is something I need to consider. You know, it's one thing thinking I'd like to do my own business, but I was never the sort of, oh, I'm just going to sit down and think of an idea. Whereas this kind of was two things suddenly melding together at the right moment. It was at that point being like, right, I need to work out how to make a watch. Can this even be done? So you start Googling, you know, people who have set up watch companies, start reading interviews with people who have a company that's been running 5 years. And very quickly I realised, no, I couldn't do it. And the reason I couldn't do it was I don't have hundreds of thousands of pounds of backing. So you think, actually, what do they spend that money on? And you start looking at it and you think, right, well, there's a branding agency fee, and then there's, you know, web developing and designing the watch. And, you know, you look at all these things and you start seeing how much they're spending on these things. And you think, actually, if I could try and do a lot of those things myself, that starts lowering the cost quite a bit. After 2 years, I think the trademark is the only thing where I've paid someone external to do. It now comes down to, will people like the watch? You know, it's one thing saying, I've designed it and, you know, it's my family and you're putting it out there. But actually, when you've got members of the public looking at it in a showcase, it, regardless of whether they even want to buy it or not, it's whether they like it and what they see, you know, the feedback from that. And I think at the moment, that's the thing where I'm really sort of apprehensive to see how well it will or will not be received. So there is a feeling of people kind of looking down upon me. I mean, the family are all being very supportive and, you know, very encouraging. But, you know, for quite a few of them, this is going to be a watch with their surname on the dial, you know. So it is that kind of sense of, I don't want to do something which is going to screw it up. Fears has relaunched at the Salon QP Watch Show, which is the UK's only real proper watch show. And for me, this is the place to be to launch the company, because I've met other people from other British watch brands and they've heard of the name, they've heard of the story, and they're sort of, you know, welcome to the club, welcome to the British watch industry. And that's, for me, a very exciting thing.
Nicholas Bowman Scargill there on how he revived his family's 170-year-old watch brand, Fears. Make sure to tune into Eureka number 23 next Friday. And of course, tune into The Entrepreneurs every Wednesday at 1900 London time. Eureka was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. We'll see you then.